Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope a Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday afternoon. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I know I had a fairly eventful weekend, including last night. Good and bad, unfortunately, but you know, that's the way the world works. Did enjoy watching the college football game when I got to do it a little bit later, but like I said, we're coming at you a little bit early on a Tuesday afternoon. We will be back in the normal early week schedule, whether that is Wednesday during the day or Tuesday night or Tuesday day or once in a while Mondays even, you know what I mean? So we'll be back to the normally scheduled time now that we are in the thick of January for the boxing schedule. And, of course, we will start the show by talking about what happened last weekend. We had ESPN. We had DAZN, we had Showtime, we had a variety of shows, including Joe Smith Jr., his win over Jesse Hart, pretty convincing there. Munguia beat Spike O'Sullivan in a competitive fight within the rounds, not so much on the scorecards. And then Clarissa Shields and Jared Enos return as well on Showtime. So like I said, we'll start with that. And then we'll also, you know, as far as what's coming up this weekend, there is some fights going on this weekend. Fox has a triple header. ESPN has a card as well. J-Rock Julian Williams returns for a hometown fight against Jason Rosario, which I think is a good fight for what it is. You know, it was supposed to be the rematch with Herd. That didn't happen. And it looks like they're angling towards, you know, a unification at 154 with Charlo. Whoever wins this fight, obviously most people think J-Rock will win. And then Alvarez and, on the undercard, Chris Colbert and just Real Corrales is on that undercard. That could be an interesting fight. I think it's a decent step up for Colbert, that's for sure. Or Colbert. I keep saying Colbert. I don't know why. And also Alvarez Seals on ESPN. And the way it's lining up, a good chunk of the ESPN broadcast, including the main event, will be, you know, I was going to say streaming, but because, you know, we have so many streaming services now. But it will have its own time. Basically, the Fox card will start 2 hours before. And so the main event will be wrapped up before any of the main event goes down between Alvarez and Seals. So that's kind of cool. I'm glad that it worked out like this for this weekend. We'll definitely talk about that. There's a variety of other items to get to when it comes to news. Canelo Alvarez is targeting an opponent. And the reports were that Canelo was targeting Billy Joe Saunders. But is that just smoke screen? Is he using it as leverage? We'll give you a little information on that. We had the Wilder-Fury rematch presser yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about that. I did see a quick little advertising during the game last night. I didn't see a commercial. Maybe I missed it. AJ, Anthony Joshua, and Kubrat Pulev have until the end of the month. I'll give you the exact date. to work a deal out. The World Boxing Super Series Cruiserweight Final is now set. We'll give you the details when it comes to that. And then there's some other just speculation out there, whether it's Pacquiao, whether it's Spence, whether it's McGregor and Pacquiao. I mean, who the hell knows, right? But we'll definitely get to all that news and whatnot after we start with the recap. But if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio Podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. It streams live at archives. But, you know, you don't have to just listen to it on Blog Talk. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the internet, including iHeartRadio. In fact, we're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify and TuneIn to find both platforms. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's boxing, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. We got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. And one last thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have, and you're just not quite that happy, you want some sort of cable package, I got something for you right here. I use it myself. AT&T TV Now, it's streaming live cable. They have the 7-day free trial, so you can try it for free, but the plans start as low as $50 a month. There's no annual contract to tie you down. You can stream it anywhere. It has the cloud DVR, and it does seem like boxing is going to be a little bit more prevalent on Showtime rather than just Showbox. So that's $11 right now on AT&T streaming cable. So it's AT&T TV Now. It's available across the country in certain markets. It's right here in Minneapolis, areas in California, Florida, New York, Texas, Northwest, all the way up to Seattle and Tacoma, the Midwest, St. Louis, Springfield, Topeka, Wichita. Basically, just go put your area code in and see if you can get AT&T TV Now. It is a growing streaming service, so it should be in your town before you know it, you know, if you can't get it. But anyway, like I said, we had three main cards from the weekend. None of them really, well, I suppose we don't really know what the streaming numbers are, you know, for Munguia in there. In O'Sullivan, but you know, the ESPN card didn't really do well. The overall average is a little misleading. It did actually peak higher once the NFL was done. So the main event did peak higher. The Showbox was around Showbox numbers, maybe a little more than a Showbox number on average, of course, but wasn't anything to, you know, write home about. But, as far as the fights themselves, we'll start with the ESPN. Joe Smith Jr. and Hart wasn't really that competitive a fight. This, I'd say going in, as far as the main events going into last weekend, I'd probably have to say that this was the most competitive fight on paper. You know what I mean? That's what it seemed like to me anyway. But it didn't turn out that way. And, you know, Hart had gotten hurt a couple fights ago against, what was that, Deshaun? What the hell was that guy's name? But anyway, he ended up stopping that dude, but maybe because he's at light heavyweight now, I'm not totally sure, but it took him a while to even throw, like, meaningful punches. I thought the broadcast did a good job of showing or saying that he's just moving too much. You know, I respect the guy that, you know, like, makes his money and gets his wins on the outside, just like I do a come forward fighter. But sometimes you can come forward and just be, you know, smother your own punches, don't even use a jab, and just take 2, 3, 4, 5 shots to get hit, and it's not that effective. And sometimes on the outside, you can just move too much, and then it is kind of like, quote unquote, running or on your bike or on your 10 speed. And it took, I'd say, to the third round for me to give Hart a round, and that was a close round at that. He was just moving so much, Hart was. He had the jab going, but it was really just a few better shots would steal the round. There was a really nice, I think it was a right hand late that kind of wobbled Smith in the second round. That was a clear shot by Smith. But like I said, other than the third round, how many more rounds could you really give Hart in this fight? You look at the fourth and fifth. Smith was just hitting him with those clubbing shots. He was going to the body as well. There was a knockdown in the seventh round, I believe. You could kind of see it was coming. Those overhand thudding right hands started to take their toll. And Hart was just, like I said, moving too much, jabbing. Sure, he'd get the uppercuts, but it's not like Smith wasn't, you know, landing the uppercuts as well. I think it wasn't much left. I think it was like 25 seconds left or not much time left in the seventh round. Caught him with an off-balance shot, sweeping right hand, kind of a late flurry, knocked him down. And, you know, Smith just kept applying the pressure. There was a accidental headbutt that caused the cut, but, you know, there wasn't much competitiveness. 8-2, maybe, something like that. Other than that, I couldn't really give it much to Hart. He just wasn't sitting down on his punches. He was moving way too much. And he got outlanded. 135-94, I believe it was, or 99. Smith outworked him 501-465. He was more accurate. If you look at body shots, something in the second half, Smith did a good job, 43-13. And Hart had the advantage with 45-20 in jabs, but Smith had him on 115-54 on power shots. And copy box is just a part of the fight, of course, but it just seemed like Hart was not wanting to – I can understand not wanting to exchange, but his foot positioning was pretty weak, pretty poor the whole fight. I think they did a good job of breaking that down as well on the broadcast. So, good fight by Joe Smith Jr. It was tough to have to track down Hart so much during the fight, so he couldn't really get as many good shots as maybe he could with some other guys. But I thought it was a good performance, and it kind of seemed like Joe Smith Jr. was a little shot-worn. And it was nice to see him get this win. It put on a good performance. So I'll give him credit, no doubt about it. I picked against him. Joe Smith Jr., you know, it sounds like they're lining him up for the fight this weekend, Alvarez and Seals, which would be a pretty good fight too. So as far as the co-feature, Steven Nelson pretty much handled Killick. There wasn't much to it. First couple of rounds, he was just kind of outworking him with his jab. Third and fourth, he used a little bit of movement, landing a few uppercuts, some clean shots to the head. He was just outlanding him. And I think in the fourth round, it was 25-4 for Nelson. There was some two-way action, just not enough to win a round for Killick in the fifth. Still dominating through the sixth and seventh. Eighth, he landed a huge right hand, did Nelson in some uppercuts. Buddy McGirt finally said he's stopping the fight. He was a TKO. It was one of those things where they gave him another round, and then it didn't really matter. You know, it was, like I said, it didn't really matter. So, nice win by Nelson. We'll see where he goes next. And as far as Showtime goes, Shields and Habazon. I mean, you couldn't really give many rounds to anybody but Shields. You know what I mean? She started out pretty well with a few overhand rights behind a stiff jab. She was just a busier fighter, landing, you know, better shots. Right hands were kind of overhand, choppy shots the way she throws them. Like I said, some pretty good body work and fact, I believe it was in the sixth round, but I got the hiccups. That's not good. In the sixth round, there was a body shot that hurt Habazon, and she hit the ground. Wasn't much left of this fight. It went pretty quick, like they do with the two-minute rounds. Through six rounds, it was 46-7 to the body. Overall, it was 68-16 to the body. 141 to 49, and that's Shields' punch rate, and she threw 506 to 285, so she clearly dominated this fight, and it was a good win. It was a good win, but now we'll see, you know, what else she's going to do. Is she going to stay at this weight? Is she going to go up in weight? That'll be interesting. There is some challenges from, what was it, super middleweight. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a little bit. On this card, Jaron Edis handled his business. You know, he did take maybe a few extra shots in his way to wrecking stuff. You know what I mean? But there wasn't much to speak on. I mean, he dominated, and it'd be nice to see him slowly but surely, you know, get moved up. But he looked good, scored another knockdown, flashy, fast, skillful. I like the way he moves his head and just moves his upper body. Sometimes just after a punch so he gets out of there, that's a good look. So he looked really good. It'll be really interesting to see where Ennis, you know, what happens to Ennis in 2020. Is he the prospect of the year? Was he last year? I don't know. I mean, he's not a contender yet because of the amount of, you know, he doesn't have many quality wins just yet. So this is the time for him to go. This 2020 is the time for him to go prospect to contender to contender to maybe getting that title shot or just a big fight, you know, whatever it is. See, DeRus and Espinoza fought as well on the opener. It was good action in the first round. Cedarus, she dominated the first, say, three out of first four rounds, I'd say. She was landing the better shots. It was a short left hand she landed, kind of in motion, kind of a counter shot that actually caused the knockdown in the second. Just landing the cleaner shot, beating her to the punch. I think Napoleon Espinoza did start winning some rounds. I gave her the fifth. It was a closer round. I gave her the sixth as well. It was kind of back and forth. Seventh, she had a lot of jab and body work that was effective, I thought. But then timing and clean shots by the eighth and ninth and tenth went back to DeRus. So I had a 7-3, maybe 6-4. It was pretty easy to see, you know, who won the fight. But 95-94 all across the board. It was a clean win, though. They really gave a nice little ending by both of them. Both of them bleeding. Both of them going for it. So that was kind of cool to see. DeRus landed 179 to 138. Definitely outworked her. So we'll see where she goes. And by the way, it was a decent crowd there, by the way. I forgot to mention that. But early on, Ennis was landing uppercuts. I did forget about, you know, just kind of rapid fire TKO type stuff. But he was landing a bunch of uppercuts. He kind of let loose on a combo and dropped Uabov. Is that what that dude's name? And then like three left hands and dropped him, and the uppercut dropped him. He just outworked him. It was kind of like a rapid fire shots that ended up TKO. And by the way, I forgot to mention, so that clears up Showtime. I'm going to get to the zone in just a short little bit, but I forgot to mention the freaking heart. I think I forgot. I was kind of looking at something. I was getting a couple of texts and I thought maybe something was up with the switchboard, but that's not the case. But there was a scorecard. The scorecards read 97-92, 98-92. In favor of Joe Smith Jr., clearly, right? Easy to judge. And that's the thing about the hometown. It's great to have hometown fights, but sometimes we get that hometown cooking, right? 95-94. I mean, really? Like, you know, luckily the right, you know, man won in this one, but golly, dude. I mean, that's a horrible scorecard. There's just no way around it. It's ridiculous. I can't believe it. But like I said, at least two of them were in favor of the guy who actually won the fight. So that's in the end, that is a bit of a positive. But man, it, wow. Like, you can't give, I don't care where, you know, where this fight's taking place. You just can't do that. I mean, it's really bad, dude. It was really bad. But anyway, that's a normal boxing thing, though, isn't it? If we're being honest. But yeah, so that judge should be pretty much done. I don't really know why he would need to keep judging. But no, he should be suspended for sure. She or he, I don't even know who it was. So that about wraps some of that up. For the DAZN card, there was a spirited woman's fight on the card. And as far as – I'm going to get into Clarissa Shields and all that and the record and all that. We'll get to that in just a second. I know a lot of people were up in arms about Showtime and the graphic and the stats that they showed when it came to that accomplishment of three weight classes. So we will – I'm not going to forget about that. I'm just kind of breezing through this recap because it is a shortened show today. But as far as, you know, there was, like I said, there was, what was it? Cruz DAZN, or DAZN, I think it is, and Alejandro Jimenez. And Jimenez was, you know, way overweight. I think she was a heavyweight. She dropped down, lost a bunch of weight, 168. A lot of people have a lot of opinions. A lot of people bring it up, oh, VADA testing and PED, and, you know, talking about Clarissa Shields. Well, she doesn't have to fight a man and all that, you know. And from my knowledge, I don't believe this is a transgender athlete here. I could be totally wrong. I just looked it up a little bit. Maybe there'll be some news coming out. But the way, I mean, so many people slandered this woman's fighter, saying that she's transgender, she looks like a dude, you know, all that stuff. I mean, she does look like a guy, obviously. A lot of women's athletes have that, you know, have more of a less feminine look. I mean, that's just being honest, but as far as VADA testing and all that, you know, I'm not going to get into that. I didn't do the research if there was. But either way, having an opinion on transgender athletes competing, that you were a male that turned, you know, genders, which is your right to do. I'm not saying I'm against that. Into a woman, so you're transgender. I'm not a big on transgenders going against women. Then I'm just being honest. But don't you have to be that? I mean, I need some more follow up on this. But I've seen so much slander across the internet for Jimenez, and like I said, I just think that it is what it is. I mean, you're going to see that. I hate to be like, oh, it is what it is, too bad. But you're definitely going to see that. You see, I mean, it's boxing Twitter. You know what I mean? So it's there's a bunch of degenerates on there that'll say anything for likes. But, yeah, when you look at this female boxer, she does look like a male. I can't say that, or I can't say that she doesn't, but like I said, the physique of a male, quote-unquote stereotypical male, right? Well, athlete, anyway. Well, yeah, you see that from time to time. You see that more than time to time, what am I saying, in women's athletes. So we'll see if that's a fight that Clarissa Shields will go back up for. But it was a spirited back-and-forth fight. I thought she won, but to me, it was pretty sloppy, too. So that was part of the broadcast. I watched that, too. And then Jaime Munguia against Spike O'Sullivan turned out to be, although not like super competitive round by round, but within the rounds there was some good action. Munguia kind of started out kind of early and midway more of his normal style, and then he kind of got into an outside look a little bit and jabbing more and fighting a little bit smarter. As far as the first four rounds I gave to Munguia, he was landing the bigger shots, overhand rights, more combinations, and there was a really flush shot. Maybe the third round I think I gave to O'Sullivan because of that hard right hand, and there was a follow-up in an exchange. That may have stole the round for him. I did kind of forget about that. I gave Munguia the fourth, though. The fifth I gave, great back and forth. I gave, though, to Spike O'Sullivan. He landed the better shots, I thought. Even though you could say Munguia was busier, it just wasn't enough for me. There was some low blows going on. There was a low blow in a slower round in the sixth round. Kind of midway, there was a flurry of combinations in the body shot that dropped Spike O'Sullivan, seventh round. Munguia landed several right hands. It was actually a low blow. It wasn't a body shot. It looked like a knockdown. I remember writing it, and then I just noticed in my notes I fixed that. But it was a close round. I gave it to Munguia. Several right hands. It was good enough for me. And then the jab and kind of a whipping, scraping right hand in the eighth and ninth. And like I said, after a while, it was like a steady jab with some power shots, kind of in and out a little bit. And then he'd land like heavy shots near the end of a round. And you could see come ninth and tenth round that Spike O'Sullivan was just fading. And besides some minor success, and I'm talking minor, it was really arm punchy in the beginning of the 11th. Probably six or eight clean shots among a flurry of shots ended the fight. TKO, Munguia walks away with the victory. 11th round, TKO. He landed 292 to 122. 37% of his shots through 792 to 496. And the jab, 53 to 22, that's a pretty good jab rate. Not that Sullivan's a great jabber, but it's just nice to see Munguia jabbing more. And they both kind of landed their fair share of body shots. Munguia, I believe, landed more. So kind of a mixed bag of everything with Munguia. I did, like I said, Sergio Mora did a good job of explaining. I did like how he would jab and kind of flurry and not worry about exchanging the whole time. You know, obviously at 160, he's probably won't have the power that we saw at 154. And a lot of that power wasn't necessarily against legit 154 pound guys. Right. So we're going to find out more about Munguia and where he lands, you know, with this, could he be a fight for Alvarez? Yeah, I would say that he could be a fight for Alvarez, you know what I mean? I definitely think that they're trying to, my guess is go with that. I'm not saying that's like it's going to happen in May, but they're probably not going to keep stepping him up if they know they could maybe, you know, lose him as an opponent. It's not like some great opponent for Canelo, but the casual Canelo fans and, you know, Munguia has fought on U.S. television a lot and streaming now here in the U.S., so I do think the Canelo casual fans, the Mexican-American fans could be like, hey, this guy's got a good record. He's super young. This could be a good fight. Stylistically, we know it'll be a good fight. So I just don't see him putting him in there with Andre or something like that before they put him with Canelo. Or Golovkin, I guess you could say Golovkin. My guess is they'd want to probably keep that for Canelo, but maybe Munguia, Munguia against Golovkin. You know, possibly, but like I said, I'm pretty much sold that they're gonna just cash him out against Canelo, and then maybe they'll build him back a little bit, and then it'll be maybe they'll be more willing to put him in with the Golovkin at that point, or an Andre or something like that. You know what I mean? But it doesn't really seem He looked pretty good. Doesn't seem to be like something you can really judge off of this individual fight, obviously, you know what I mean? So I think you got to temper, you know, some of that, because he did get hit with a lot of shots in this shot. Well, not a lot, but a lot of flush shots, considering it's not like he got, you know, it's not like he had 300 punches landed on him or something like that. But so we'll see. You know, he still can learn. He can get in better. I don't know how better, but I think, you know, being that he's still young, he definitely can get better. But if they keep the competition on a certain level, you know, maybe in the long run that'll help him get better. Maybe that will, we'll see, you know, him digress. It's really tough to say. But either way, a good performance by him, and I'm sure we'll see him sometime in the summer or something like that. Maybe May or something like that. Who knows? You know, you never know. Maybe they were just waiting for this weekend, and he's going to be, you know, the opponent in May. I guess you can't – you just never know, right? You just don't really know. But anyway, on to the last part of the recap, which happens to be a graphic that they put up, stats. We're talking stats. So they put up the stat that in the least amount of fights, Clarissa Shields has gotten titles at three different weight classes, right? And Lomachenko, you know, people, Lomachenko fans and just boxing fans in general, but especially Lomachenko fans, were just freaking out. And, you know, it is what it is. Some people, I mean, I heard people saying that, you know, I miss HBO because they would never do that. And, dude, I mean, to be honest with you, let's be honest. Like, I don't know about all that. I mean, I was kind of going back with some folks and going back and forth, I should say, with some folks and on Twitter and whatnot. And they were, you know, like I said, they were kind of talking about, you know, they wish they had HBO and they'd never do this and all that. And I'm just like, dude, no offense, but, well, actually, I don't really care about the offense thing. But, you know, they star build all the time. Like, what are you talking about? They would definitely have put that graphic up. They definitely would have picked that graphic up. So, you know, and then they, one guy came back to me and said, well, they would have never had Clarissa on their airwaves to begin with, so they wouldn't even have to worry about that. Well, that's funny, because on their last ever broadcast, guess who they had on the show? Guess who they had? Not, you know, not just on a show. They had her on a fight. So it is what it is. You know what I mean? Clearly, the problem with women's boxing at this point is the depth. So the record is hollow. I mean, if we're going to get technical, right, which we're obviously getting technical because, you know, clearly the women's depth, you know, at those divisions are nowhere near what the boxing, you know, the men's department, the men's category, right? It's deeper, no doubt about it. So it doesn't, it's a record, sure, but it doesn't mean nearly as much. However, if you look at that list, what was it, 2015, 2016 and up that were on top of it? So, you know, if we want to compare, you know, 2015 and on compared to depth 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you know, the depth in men's boxing compared to the depth back then isn't all that either. And it's nowhere near what it was. So, you know, the records nowadays are cheapened anyway. I mean, we already know that. It just, it matters who you're cheering for. Some people can only look at one record. So, you know, some of the same people that'll be building up Golovkin on his title run, even though some of them were WBA bullshit, they get mad at this, but then they can't admit that, you know, a fair amount of these records nowadays don't mean a whole lot. I mean, let's just be honest. So, yeah, of course, that the record doesn't mean as much as, say, a Inoue or a Lomachenko or whatever. But if we're being honest, those are cool. Those are great records. But a lot of it is just they just had a lot of experience in the amateurs, and, you know, they came out. I mean, Clarissa's the same way. So it is what it is. Do I take it as some record to go down with the history books? No. But let's keep it all in perspective is what I'm saying. And as far as the Clarissa Shields thing, you know, she says some silly stuff sometimes. A lot of boxers do. This whole Broner comparison, though, is silly because Broner was getting in trouble with the law before he even became a well-known boxer. He went to jail. He's been arrested several times. He has lawsuits. He has all this stuff. And, you know, don't get me wrong. When Shields was supporting her uncle on Twitter after her uncle stole on Uzgadaji, that's nonsense. So, you know, saying one thing saying stuff that's nonsense on Twitter or on camera, you know, I'll let some of the stuff slide or not judge them as a fighter in the ring. But I think women's boxing in general, you cannot respect Shields outside of the ring for some of the stuff she says. That's cool. But to not respect her in the ring, you don't have to call her a pound-for-pound fighter to just show a little more respect. Not just her. I'm talking about her as a fighter and all women's fighters taking punishment. That's the big thing. A lot of dudes on Twitter, they're not taking any punishment. Or they've sparred in their life, so they think that they're a professional fighter, like they're taking punches from an actual, you know, fighter, which is obviously not true. So, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, you don't have to like Shields. You know, there's plenty of stuff we can say about Kovalev. There's plenty of stuff you can say about Fury's past, as far as comments he's made, decisions he's made, choices he's made. So it is what it is. But, you know, like I said, I try to, unless you're talking about boxing and you're talking about, oh, I take on that or I'm that or I'm the A side, she can have all these goals and she wants to be, you know, known like these other fighters. And kudos to her. She is building a fan base. Like I said, on Showbox, she did a good Showbox number. But overall, it's not like it was building, you know, it hasn't built. She's done all right on Showtime. Actually, she's done pretty good on Showtime. It's a good rating for Showbox, but, you know, we don't necessarily always get the best ratings when football is on, especially, you know, January. Now, it wasn't going head-to-head, and luckily for the ESPN main event, that actually, once the NFL went down, that actually went up and peaked over 600, I think 620 or 655 or whatever, something like that. So that got a little bit better ratings than it looked like right away. The average, sure, that was bad, but other than that, that about wraps it up. Like I said, I'm not asking you to like Clarissa Shields or anything like that, but the whole, I see this time and time again, the whole Broner comparison, and it's like, you know, Broner was getting arrested. Broner has a record before he became known, like I said, so that's a little different. I don't like some of the comments she says either. And I called her out for it, but I'm not going to sit there and judge her as a fighter based off her comments. I don't do that, you know? Now, once a fighter talks about a different fighter and who they can beat and what they can do and all that type of stuff, and it has to do with actual boxing, then you'll get me, then you'll hear like small rants or stuff like that. Like, let's say this, here's the difference. And some people were saying, oh, you're making a big deal about Timothy Bradley, you know, going off on a broadcast. Well, here's the difference. If Al Bernstein, or better yet, let's say Paulie Malignaggi, if Paulie Malignaggi said, and I don't care what any boxing fan at home says, that women or men, there's more depth than women, that's all hogwash. That's nonsense. It should be looked at the same exact way, the same record. Now, if Paulie Malignaggi went out and said that on that broadcast and said, hey, look, I don't care what anybody you guys say, the Shields record is just as good as any of those records. Forget depth. We're taking depth out of it. You know, and he went really fighting for that network guy or network gal in this situation, Shields. Then I would comment on that and say, dude, you're way off. You're obviously, you know, you're obviously cheerleading. You know, you're cheerleading on that one. But he didn't do that. So I'm calling out what it was, basically. I'm not calling out the record. I'm calling out what it was. But anyway, I digress. It'll be interesting to see if Shields goes up or stays, you know, right around the weight she's at. It's her third weight class, so either way, that at least she's going out there trying to get some fights, you know what I mean, and trying to do stuff to make some noise. We will talk a little bit about this weekend. We're also going to talk a little bit of news, Anthony Joshua Pulev news, Canelo next fight news, World Boxing Super Series finals news, March 21st. It sounds like that's a done deal. Of course, McGregor has a fight. It's a busy, busy fight weekend. And luckily, there's no NFL head-to-head on, you know, on Saturday, but the conference final is the next day. And so the attention that the NFL gets right now definitely will take away, not to mention McGregor is fighting Cowboy. So, I mean, this is going to be tough for boxing this week. It is what it is. A couple of weeks ago, I kind of got the dates wrong. For some reason, I think it was because Fox had that Garcia Spence fight on the 25th book. So I think that's why I thought that was the Fox date. It'd have been a lot better for Fox to be able to get that date, like they had last year to go when there isn't NFL football on at all. There's a 2-week break, but that's not going to be the case here. So, yeah, they're going to go – in fact, the NBA kicks off, and it's the main event – or the main event. Well, it is kind of a main event, but LeBron against it's Houston and the Lakers, which are two huge markets, LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, you know, and Harden. Let's see if all those guys play. Maybe it'll just be LeBron, but – that's not always the funnest thing to do is go head up with all these, you know, with McGregor, one of the biggest guys in the sport. Well, he is the biggest combat person in the sport. And, going up against the NBA, I don't know. We'll see what the peak number is. Luckily, Fox has been, you know, promoting it, but it's going to be tough to peak at well over two. You know what I mean? It's going to be tough. Even hitting two may be tough. But anyway, we'll just talk a little bit about this week, and then we'll get into some news and all that. As far as this weekend goes, like I said, ESPN has Alvarez and Seals as the main event. Showtime, I forgot to mention this, Showbox and Showtime from Sloan, Iowa. One of these days, I'm going to get down to Sloan, Iowa. But, you know, if you're a hardcore boxing fan and you follow Showbox. It's always been a very consistent, series. So it's worth a DVR. Is it, hey, you got to stop your night and watch it? No, not necessarily. Some of the fights are like that. Some of them aren't. But it's worth a DVR. Alvarez and Seals, like I said, comes on a little later at night. So that's a good look. I like that. Literally, I think it comes on at 9 my time. And when I mean my time, I'm talking Central. So the East Coast, it comes on at 10, which you're starting to get used to it on the East Coast, starting at 10. But is it a triple header? My guess is they're going to be talking a full amount. They're going to have some segments, a full segment probably on Wilder Fury and whatnot too. But so during the day on ESPN, there's two basketball games, and one of them has Duke. I think it's Duke and Louisville. So that'll be a big game. That'd be a big rating. And then it's the undercard, the prelims, for McGregor's fight. So ESPN has hooked him up with a fair amount of, different sports to promote during, before. And then the prelim, usually the prelims, when it comes to a McGregor or a bigger name, usually those spike higher. So I'm really interested to see what that prelim number is going to be. And also what that means for boxing. But it also, like I said, the broadcast on Fox starts at 7 o'clock, which is 8 o'clock Eastern. So they'll have 2 hours before ESPN even starts. Now, sure, you could say, well, Alvarez and Seals are going head up with McGregor. That's going to be rough. And we'll see if the Fox pay-per-view – or, I'm sorry, the Fox the Fox card can get done before a McGregor fight. It'd be nice if they could start the fight, the main event on Fox, right around like an hour and 40, hour and 45 minutes, something like that. Maybe 2 hours in tops. Just to be able to get it done before the McGregor fight starts. And maybe, just maybe if we're lucky, they can get the NBA game on halftime. And so there's that little break. So maybe, you know, it can draw some attention away minorly. But it, like I said, it's gonna be tough. I like Alvarez against Seals. Alvarez obviously got that big win, you know, over Kovalev. Followed it up by, you know, dropping a fight to him. But, you know, it is what it is. You could say that was one of I totally misread this text. I was like, oh, no. You can't even hear it. It's not going to happen. But I like I said, I misjudged it. I don't know. Like, I think Seals is a solid fighter. I like this fight. It's like a mid-level fight. I was going to say middle of the line. It's not that different, you know, than what was on last week, in a sense. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like those type of fights. Obviously, we've seen Joe Smith Jr. and Hart on higher levels than maybe Seals, you know, consistently. But Alvarez, like I said, he's a solid fighter. He comes to fight. He doesn't necessarily get in a bunch of brawls, but, you know, he was making his, you know, he got a decent win against Chalemba a few years back. That's probably like 4 years back or something like that. Beat Lucien Boutte. He beat Jean Pascal. Then, like I said, he knocked out Kovalev. I thought he was down on the scorecards. Turned around, ended up getting beat. But the biggest problem, I'd say, is the time off. If you look at it, and I forgot that he didn't get a fight in there. And that's kind of strange. Was he hurt? I know that he was going to sign with Top Rank, but the deal got a little changed once he lost. So it would have been nice to keep him busy. Seals is more active, that's for sure. He fought twice last year. He beat Brooker. I remember watching that fight. He lost Edwin Rodriguez a long time ago in a pretty damn good fight. So I think this could be interesting. You know, I think it could be interesting. He's got a long-ass reach, does Seals, that's for sure. But I think Alvarez is going to win by decision. I'm picking Alvarez by decision. And it sounds like, you know, I think Bob Arum has an option on Joe Smith Jr. Obviously, he just, you know, got a big win over Jesse Hart. So, you know, why not go right there with it? You know, that makes a lot of sense. So, that'd be a good fight. The winner, you know, fair amount of people think Alvarez is going to win, but if Seals won, you know, kudos to him too. That'd be a good fight, maybe sometime this summer or I don't know, May possibly, something like that. I think that'd be a good fight. And I'm just making sure, yeah, we're good. The number to dial, by the way, is 646-381-4990. That's 646-381-4990. We do have a little bit more preview and predictions. We're going to move to that Fox card next. Two interesting fights on that card, and then we're going to get to news. So we'll definitely we're not going to forget the news, but we'll get there in just a short little bit. It does look like, yeah, so there are some numbers that I don't necessarily always see. If you guys are just hanging out listening, that's cool. I'm not going to put you on the air or anything if you don't want to be on. If you want to press 1 and join in, that's cool too. Portland, I see you on there, 503. See some 651 and 612s. I'm just going to do the whole Ludacris song, I think, maybe. 612, 31. All right, anyway. As far as the Fox card. So the Fox card has some interest for me anyway. The undercard, Chris Colbert. God, I did it again. Chris Colbert and Jezreel Corrales. I think this is a nice little step up. This is a good fight for him. I don't really care, you know, as far as the WBO make it up as you go stuff. I'm not really worried about, you know, it is what it is. Like, belts are belts, right? Some get embedded, some get passed along, some get dumped. Some are, you know, it doesn't matter. You see what I'm saying? It really doesn't matter. I look at the fight, what it means to each fighter. And, you know, last year, Jezreel fought Ladarius Miller, to a tight-ass fight. He lost the fight. Miller won the fight, but it was a competitive fight. He also lost to Machado. He's got some decent wins. Those were just a chunk of years ago. So, obviously, you know, Jezreel Corrales is not someone you'd say that, like, is in their prime by any stretch of the imagination. But he's fought a fair amount of, you know, solid fighters. And where Colbert, not Colbert, the Brooklyn native, where he's at in his, you know, career, he's coming out of Miguel Beltran and Mercado and a couple other names. Dulé is his biggest name, Austin Dulé. That was here, actually, I believe, at the Armory a couple years ago. That's his biggest win as a prospect. So I like this fight. You know, you're going against an experienced guy. I really like, you know, what I see out of Colbert. You know, he's got some skills on the outside. He's pretty active. I look for him to win. Is he going to win by knockout? He definitely, you know, landed a hell of a knockout last fight. I think that was the last fight, right? Against Beltran, but it's possible. I'd probably go with, he's pretty sharp and accurate, so maybe I will go with the knockout, like a late knockout possibly. But either way, I look for him to show his skills. You know, what level of adversity are we talking about in this fight? I don't know. I mean, more rounds against a solid fighter, I think, is what he needs right now. So I think that kind of fits the bill. I'm going to go Chris Colbert, not Colbert, but Colbert, from Brooklyn. I'm going either UD or, you know, I'm going to go decision. It could be really competitive. It could be something like an 8-4, maybe a 7-5. You know, it's tough to say with a prospect. He's like 13-0 or 12-0, 13-0, so where he's at, this is a good step. Let's see where he's at, and we'll talk about it next week. On to the main event, Julian J-Rock Williams takes on Jason Rosario. You know, obviously, it was a build-back for J-Rock. Back in 2016, he got stopped against Jermall Charlo, who's now at 160. But he was winning rounds and winning plenty of the fight, landing clean shots until he got stopped. You know, they brought him back slowly, got him in a good fight with Ishe Smith. He took on Gallimore, I should say. And that was a competitive fight. That was a good fight. So he's kind of worked his way back into position. Then last May, in one of the best fights of the year, he upset Jared Hurd, and a lot of people were like, oh, and I remember numerous people trying to even slough off on this fight, like it was a bummy fight. It was like a couple people that claimed to be, you know, aficionados. I'm not talking about the podcast either, even though that's aficionados. They were basically saying J-Rock doesn't bring anything to the ring, that will do anything to Hurd when Hurd was down in all three of his last fights, or three out of four, I should say. So, yeah, he scored knockouts and knockdowns like Lara to win the fight, but how couldn't that be a competitive fight? And sure enough, it was a competitive fight in a big win. They wanted to do the rematch. Jared Hurd's coming out and saying now that, you know, You know, I got a new trainer, which I think was a good decision, and he wants to have a camp or two. So that's where that fight went. That was going to be a doubleheader on Fox. Unfortunately, that didn't work. We did have Charlo Harrison, one of the better fights from last year. And the winner at some point, hopefully this summer, I'd assume, will get matched up with the winner of this fight. And so it's been nice to see a guy like this get knocked out and come back. Badu Jack did it. Other fights have done it. Other fighters, excuse me, have done it in the last chunk of years. And it's pretty nice, man. But J-Rock knows that he can't slip. You know, he can't slip up because he's got a guy who has one loss in Jason Rosario. 19-1-1. He packs a decent punch. He's a guy that lost to Gallimore years ago, 3-4 years ago. Ended up getting TKO'd, but then it had some, you know, prospect fights up until that point, but he had a draw with Hernandez. And then he took on Justin Deloach. And remember, Deloach was the guy who had knocked out, actually, I think it was Gallimore, wasn't it? No, he got beat by Gallimore. He had knocked somebody out on the way up. And it was like, whoa, okay, was it Pearson or Dalton? Or, you know, some of those wins, it was like, okay, well, Deloach is knocking people out. Let's see what he does. And he ended up getting beat cleanly. And Rosario took on Jermonte Clark. That was a fight here in the summer. Not this last summer, I think the summer before. Beat him when he was unbeaten. And then made up for that draw he had with Hernandez with a TKO. Now, he was a competitive fight with Jorge Cota in his last fight. And I think, you know, the layoff has been a little bit of an issue. I can't remember if he got hurt a little bit, too. Maybe Alvarez and Rosario were the – I remember that I brought those two up now, not having fought in a while. Maybe they had some injury issue there. But either way, he's somewhat dangerous coming into this fight. So J-Rock obviously can't just, you know – I don't think he's going to, but yeah, obviously he's got to be fully focused. And I expect that out of him. But it is nice for him to get a hometown Philly fight. This guy's a contender at the weight. Is he fringe contender, somewhere in that realm? You know, I think he's built himself back into a contender. I think for the fight, for what the fight is, a first defense of a belt, I don't have a problem with this fight. I think it's a good fight. It gets him a fight to keep moving instead of that Hurd fight. He keeps moving. Maybe they'll get the Hurd rematch next. We assume the way they were talking that it's going to be Charlo and the winner of this. That's what I'm hoping for. But I'm going to go J-Rock. I think that stylistically it will be a fun fight, though. I think it's a good TV fight. In fact, the Alvarez-Seals has potential to be a good TV fight. Same with this one. I think it'll be good. And that's what you want. You want entertainment when you're talking about casual fans. When you put a fight on ESPN, when you put a fight on Fox, you're going to have some casual fans, maybe a couple hundred thousand, maybe, you know, an extra 500,000, maybe even more. Like I said, for this one, it's going to be a little bit tougher to peak at, you know, 2.5 and all that. And I'll say this, Fox has done a good job. In fact, I saw a commercial on it during the Niners-Vikings game, and that did a big rating, 24 million people watching it on average. I think it peaked up to 30 million something. I don't remember exactly what the numbers are, but so Fox has done what they normally do. They, you know, when they have a Fox or FS1, especially if they have a Fox, but FS1 too, they promote it. So I've seen the commercial on college basketball. I saw the commercial a handful of times ever since the end of promoting Charlo and Harrison. So they jump right back on it. And so I think it'll be a decent number, but I think the combination of the competition with the NFL still hanging around and not getting that two-week break date like they had last year. Obviously, Keith Thurman is a bigger name. And even as a B-side, Jose Cito Lopez is a much bigger name than Rosario. You know, Lopez had fought on, you know, a bunch of different networks, and obviously Bob Canelo. So Madonna, Birdo, a lot of dudes. So it's not going to peak to 2.8 or 2.7 what Thurman and Lopez did last year because of the date. And Thurman's a bigger name, better B-side, like I mentioned. But, you know, going against the first ABC, you know, free TV NBA game is not great, especially when it's LeBron, the biggest star, against Houston, who's got two stars on there too. So it might get ugly. And then, like I said, you also have McGregor. I actually think McGregor's going to win this fight. I don't know enough about this fight. I am a super – I used to be like what I consider more of a casual MMA UFC fan, but I'm much more of like a super casual. You know what I mean? But I will pay attention to this fight, no doubt about it. I will be watching it in some form or fashion. I haven't got my plans all the way off. I work during the day, so I do have the night off for fights, so that's cool. So I'll be watching all three cards. But anyway, I think stylistically it'll be fun fight until J-Rock just starts landing the timing, landing the better shots. J-Rock, even if Rosario comes to him, I think he's going to land the cleaner shots. I think he'll outclass him at some point. He'll just start not just outworking him, but timing, the accuracy. I think he'll TKO him, actually. Either way, I think it'll be a good TV fight with a clear winner. Talking 8, maybe 10-2, 9-3, but maybe competitive within the realm. Wouldn't be shocked at a late TKO at all. In fact, I think that could happen. So that about wraps it up. Like I said, I'm always in favor. No matter what kind of year Showtime had that year, or last year, I should say, and what was that, 2015, too. Those are horrible years. Last year, though, Showbox did deliver. So you got to at least support Showbox when it comes to that. Maybe this one will, maybe it won't. But like I said, if you're hardcore, you at least record it to see if it does. Let's see what else we got here. That about wraps it up for that. I will be getting into some news, and then if Portland wants to join in right now, Carcino is still kind of dealing with, a tragedy in the family, unfortunately. So I don't think he'll call in. I think they have he's got to be there for his family, which is totally understandable. If Portland wants to join in, we'll let him, you know, get his thing in too, for sure. We'll just talk a little bit of news, and then we'll kind of wrap up the show not long after. So I'll have a little segment here for news. There's a variety of news, whether it's fights being made or talked about. Obviously, yesterday we had the Wilder Fury presser. It was okay. It was all right. It wasn't nuts, but they had some good lines back and forth. Fury was his normal, somewhat funny, silly, goofy self, that's for sure. Like I said, he had some funny lines. Wilder was more kind of cool and calm, laid back, was kind of saying his stuff. They both sounded like they had some sort of practice about what they were going to say, but they delivered it pretty well. You had this. Plus, they were going to get together at some point and shoot some. They're probably going to have a face-off, I'd assume, and they're going to shoot some probably more commercial stuff too. I don't really know. Maybe they've already shot that stuff. I'm wondering, you know, what's up with if Fox is going to have a different commercial. I'm hearing that the PBC, like inside the Fight Camp, or is it Countdown? I can't remember if it's Fight Camp or Countdown. January 25th, I know on Fox, I believe during the day, we'll have a fight camp, Wilder Fury, the first one, fight camp. So that's about a month before, so they got plenty of time there. So that's good. But I think I want to say the Countdown's going to be on ESPN and Fox and FS1. I'm not sure about that, though. That's just, we keep hearing stuff, but we haven't had all the details just yet. But, you know, it is what it is. It was a presser. It was decent. Not much more to go from there. You can look at both sides. You know, Fury saying he's not going to, you know, try to outbox him. He's going to go try to get a knockout. He's talking about he has a dream that he's going to knock him out in the second round. Wilder's in there saying, I'm going to be a little bit more composed. Yeah, I may throw more punches. They're just not going to be bombs, you know, and haymakers. They're going to be more jabs, and I'm going to hit him in the shoulder, hit him in the stomach. He said on that on the Boxing Voice the other night. I'm going to land on what's open rather than being picky or just trying to throw a bomb. You know, he jabbed early in that fight, then got away from it. So it was the normal stuff. You know, I didn't see a Wilder Fury commercial during the national championship game. Maybe somebody saw it. I do fast forward the commercials, but I do it at, you know, there's like three levels of fast forward, you know, and I did it on the slow thing. So I thought I saw every commercial, but I could have missed it. However, the cool part that they did, though, I'll say this is, so there, it was early in the game, it was the first half, and they punted the ball, right? And instead of going to commercial, a lot of times you'll see, like, either shows that are coming on, a big game, or it'll be, you know, like a movie trailer, like a promo, you know? And so they punted the ball, and instead, like I said, instead of going to commercial, they put up the graphic of Wilder Fury, and they said, oh, it's the biggest fight in 20 years or whatever since, you know, Lennox Lewis and Tyson, whatever, right? All that stuff. And they put up the graphic, and it was maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, but then it went right back to first and 10, which everybody would be paying attention to, especially that early in the game. So I thought that was a cool place rather than, well, if I had to pick between that or a commercial, I'd probably pick that. Because that's when the game is not on the commercial, somebody go grab a beer, go to the bathroom, they could have missed it. But this way, they're probably not going to miss it. You know what I mean? They see a punt, and then they're waiting for a commercial, doesn't go to commercial, and they see Wilder Fury. So that was, you know, they said the controversial draw, and they fought to a draw, and blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was a good spot. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I missed a commercial. Maybe they ran commercials right before the game started. I don't know. I didn't see a commercial, though. Whereas in the two semifinals, I saw two commercials. I saw a tail of the tape. I saw a little graphic with Tyson Fury on the screen. You know, that type of thing. So, Gabriel Flores, speaking of Wilder Fury, though, the undercard, Gabriel Flores is going to return. And Lipinets, the IBF, as we know, because of Spence, is going to have a Mando due here kind of soon anyway, relatively soon. Lipinets is going to take on, God, what the hell's his name? Why can't I think of his name? But it's either going to be on the Wilder Fury, you know, undercard, which would be dope, or it'll be on a PBC or ESPN platform, which is kind of cool too, because it is a top-ranked fighter. And a PBC fighter. So, yeah, you would have liked to see, you know, more of that on the undercards, but they weren't able to come to terms. But they are having a sixth bout before the pay-per-view undercard, which there's only three fights on the undercard. Two fights and then the main event, which in the end is not that big of a deal. But they have six bouts on a three-hour broadcast that's going to be simulcast. So it'll be on ESPN and on Fox at the same time. And Gabriel Flores Jr., a hot prospect, is taking on Matt Conway, according to Michael Coppinger. Eight-round, you know, 130-pound fight. And then Amir Imam and Javier Molina is going to be part of that as well. So that's kind of an interesting fight right there. It kind of, I mean, at least, like, intrigued a little bit. It is Abdukarov. Anyway, that dude in Lipinets is called for the IBF interim welterweight to become a mandatory for Errol Spence, or maybe Errol Spence loses his next fight. I guess you could say for them then. But that'll probably be a rematch if that's the case. But it does sound like that's potentially on the pay-per-view card. Don't be surprised if you see that turning up, though, you know, on something else, whether it's on ESPN, ESPN Plus, or an FS1 show. I wouldn't mind that being on. Jamal James is going to be on Fox in April. I wouldn't mind that fight being on. We'll see. We'll see. It'd be nice, though, to get a PBC, you know, PBC gets top ranked on that undercard, too. That'd be kind of nice. That's about it when it comes to news for Wilder Fury. As of right now, some news pertaining to another belt situation. Anthony Joshua, AJ, and Kubrat Pulev have until January 31st to complete a deal. Otherwise, the purse bid will kick in. I doubt the purse bid will kick in. And, you know, we know that they give extensions too. So let's say they're really close to, you know, finishing a deal, which you'd assume they could have that wrapped up. I mean, it's the 14th right now, the 31st. They should be able to have that wrapped up. But if not, they'll probably get an extension. So I'd say within a week, maybe 2 weeks, at least within 2 weeks for sure, we'll get more news as far as more of an update for Pulev and AJ and when that fight's going to happen. Speaking of potential fights happening, it sounds like Canelo Alvarez is narrowing in on an opponent, which you assume is going to be announced somewhat soon. He's fighting in May. He lost fight in November. So it's about time to start getting his name out there. The name that was reported with Coppinger and a couple other guys was Billy Joe Saunders. So that would probably mean, you know, well, it doesn't for sure mean 168. Maybe it would mean 160, but so Canelo and Saunders, it looks like they're going to start negotiation. I don't know if they've been negotiating. Like I said, the way they made it sound in the reports is that they're really zooming in on this one, and they're like the talks are going to pick up. From the sounds of it, Eddie Hearn hadn't had any talks yet with that side. So is Canelo right now on the low that people don't know about right now, you know, negotiating a fight? Is he negotiating a fight and he's using Billy Joe as leverage, saying, hey, we've been negotiating for a while. We're going to start to move on. And here's, you know, so maybe they leaked out some news that they're going to, you know, target Billy Joe Saunders. Maybe now this week, the talks will actually pick up. I don't know. The way they, like I said, the way it was reported, it was almost like, oh yeah, they're actually negotiating. The negotiations already started, and they're narrowing it down. Now that I don't know. That I'm not sure. You know what I mean? It's tough to say on that one. There was a little bit of news about Anthony Yard and Joe Smith Jr. too, potential. I forgot to mention that as I'm scrolling through some of my news. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what Canelo's going to do. Like I said, it could be smokescreen. It could be real. I mean, Billy Joe Saunders, you know, if he comes in shape, we know the guy, you know, can fight. He's got skills. He could be some sort of, you know, some sort of challenge for, you know, Canelo, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, there was also some rumors that Charlo might get the fight. I don't know if that's true. A lot of the rumors are just coming out of Eddie Reynoso talking about, like, answering questions, basically. Yeah, we like Callum Smith. We definitely like him, you know. Yeah, we like Billy Joe. Yeah, we like Charlo, you know, so I don't really know what's happening. But like I said, if it's a Saunders fight, cool. If it's a Charlo fight, cool. If it's a Callum Smith, cool. I mean, there's plenty. Obviously, Andre would love the fight. He's, you know, he signed for the zone for these big fights and he's yet to even sniff them. So we'll see. We will see. Yeah, so there was a couple other items that I did want to get to as far as news. And, Dillian White So Dillian White is engaged with talks with Alexander Povetkin for like late March, early April. But Eddie Hearn to Coppinger has made it known that he put a seven-figure offer, which that's kind of sounds funny, seven-figure, because like you're probably not going to give Ruiz less than $1 million. But anyway, they gave Andy Ruiz an offer. They made an offer for him to fight Dillian White. Now, the other side of that is Ruiz isn't all the way back in a camp, a training camp yet, and he's due back in May or June. So I doubt that fight would happen. But you never know. You never know. My guess is they'll try to get Andy in as best shape as you can, which obviously, you know, is up to him. And then they'll move on. You know, that's my I'm having a tad bit of internet issues here. For some reason, the internet's been acting up a little bit all day. It seemed like it was settled. All right, we're good to go now. Looks like we're good to go anyway. The other news is really like, what's Pacquiao going to do next? What's Spence going to do next? Pacquiao put out a tweet saying Spence in Crawford, like he wants to fight them next. Obviously, we know we've had that Crawford-Spence stuff that we talked about last week. McGregor, you know, he's fighting this week. And he was saying, well, I still want to fight the Mayweather rematch, which is obviously why he'd want to do that money. But he also said that he got a phone call from the Pacquiao camp. Now, is that the camp, or is it his full camp with Al Haymon? You know what I mean? I doubt that he'd get a call. Maybe he called Dana. Maybe Dana White and them are going to talk. I don't know. But I could see Pacquiao wanting the McGregor fight because it's huge money. But, well, you know, that's just kind of hearsay at this point. Right? That's totally hearsay. So that about wraps it up. Portland, if you want to go ahead and join in and shut us down, feel free. Maybe you're just chilling and hanging out. That's cool, too. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to go ahead and see if he wants to join in. If not, I'm going to shut this puppy down. We're going to call it a little bit earlier than normal today. Because I kind of did a random show. I was going to do one last night, but it was a national championship. I got delayed. Life got in the way. I have a really good girlfriend that is having some issues with her ex. And those issues are of the domestic issues, to where he was stalking her in public yesterday during the day. He was parking outside of her house and that type of thing. So I got a little delayed. I had to watch a championship game because I do a college football game too. So sorry if I wasn't able to, get a hold of everyone or lined it up. So I'm just going to assume, Portland, that you are good. If you want to press one, if you want to text me to join in, that's cool. Maybe I'll go to you live and see what's up. Just double checking here that I didn't get a text from you. Sometimes I get a couple of texts that I forget to check. And it's somebody else here. All right, so I'm going to go to 503 and just check in real quick and see what's up. Portland 503, what's going on, man? How you doing? Portland, you there? All right. So it looks like he was busy, which that's cool. I kind of expected it. It is what it is. You know, like I said, I kind of expected it. Most people assume I'm going to go tonight. But like I said, I got to close the bar tonight. So I'm not going to do a show at 2:30 or 3 in the morning. So as far as starting anyway. So I'm going to wrap this one up. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Like I said, I think both main events have a chance to be good. TV fights, that's what I'm really hoping for, some competitiveness. Sure, a clear winner's nice and a knockout or whatever, all that stuff's good and stuff, but a competitive fight would be nice. We'll see Chris Colbert in his step-up fight, some other fighters as well, Showbox, like I mentioned. And we'll go from there. I'm going to go ahead and shut it down. You guys enjoy the fight, so we'll be back next week. And I'm out of here. Peace. Enjoy your day or night. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to get every dollar worth of what I deserve. Why? Because I'm the world champion.